Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Coors Light presents Heavy Montreal. July 28th and 29th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau. Featuring Avenged Sevenfold, Rob Zombie, and Marilyn Manson. A weekend of hard rock and metal with Gojira, Emperor, Under Oath, Hollywood Undead, and many more. Festival passes are on sale now. See the full lineup at HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Evenco.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Here on Talking Metal. That one, Back at the Funny Farm. We got some great guests today. First off, Emily Striegel is here, and you are the star of this episode.
Because the star?
Yeah, because both of these interviews are conducted by you. Who do we have?
We have Wendy Dio and Gus
awesome.
G.
Awesome.
Former such a fun week
Ozzy Osbourne guitarist Gus G and former wife of Ronnie James Dio, Wendy Dio. So great stuff. We can't wait to hear your chat with both of them. And again, that song we just heard, Back at the Funny Farm by Motorhead. What a classic. I had the Another Perfect Day record. Believe it or not, that was the first Motorhead record I ever bought as a kid. That was from like 1983.
Wow.
And that was the first record without Fast Eddie Clark.
Right.
So they got Brian Robertson on guitar, and he was Thin Lizzy's guitar player, along with Scott Gorham, who we just saw with Black Star Riders. I mean, and Brian Robertson, I mean, he played on, like, what I guess I would call the most popular Thin Lizzy stuff. But anyways, just a few things on that Motorhead record, Another Perfect Day. Because I've been wanting to say this for months, because what happened was, years ago, I put something up on Facebook that I loved that record, Another Perfect Day, and some dope on Facebook responded and was like, I can't believe you like that record. Lemmy sure didn't like it, and he sure has a lot of bad things to say about that record. And so that always stuck in my head, and I was kind of like, oh well, I like this record, probably one of my favorite Motorhead records, actually. You know, I like Ace of Spades, and, you know, that's a great record, too. And the Fast Eddie Clark stuff is so great, you can't beat it. But I don't know, something about Another Perfect Day was always one of my favorites. And it's definitely one of their more melodic records. But anyway, so that guy put that on Facebook. And when I had Martin Popoff on, it was probably about a year ago at this point, and we did that special on Motorhead.
Right.
I remember saying to Martin Popoff during that episode, when we were talking about Motorhead, that, oh, Lemmy didn't like Another Perfect Day. And Martin was like, well, it depends. You know, sometimes he liked it, sometimes he didn't. That's what Martin said to me. Then a couple months ago, I read Lemmy's autobiography, which he wrote in like 2002, called White Line Fever, White Lion Fever. Or maybe White Line Fever. I don't know. Whatever it was. It was excellent.
White Lion Fever.
Well, not lion. It's either
kidding.
Line or lines.
I'm
not sure. I think it's White Lion Fever. But excellent autobiography that Lemmy wrote. And in it, in the book, he says one of his favorite Motorhead records is Another Perfect Day.
Hell yeah, so, Mark Striegel.
So it just goes to show you, don't listen to these trolls on Facebook who know everything. And I don't know. I've been getting a flurry of Facebook friend requests, which I think are probably Talking Metal people, because it seems like they're the mutual friends are always the Talking Metal people. And that's great. Guys, I will always accept your friend request unless I click on it. Because what I usually do is I scope out the page first before I accept it. And if it looks like a fake account, obviously I don't accept it. But the other thing that turns me off is when I go to somebody's account and all I see are hateful rants, politically based or whatever.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't usually accept those. And if I do accept you and that ends up being the majority of what you post, I will definitely block you. Just, sorry, I don't mean to start things off on a negative note. And if you post on my timeline that Lemmy does not like the Another Perfect Day record, I will also block you.
I will also block you. I will block you. I will not accept your friend request if your name is Richard Longdong. I think I could.
You told me that one. Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Anyone Longdong? No, that's not going over.
Yeah. So we're going to get into Emily's interview we'll do the Wendy Dio one first, and then Gus G. And one more thing about the Another Perfect Day record by Motorhead. That song, Back at the Funny Farm, top notch, by the way. That's what he says at the beginning of it. Love that. But that song, Back at the Funny Farm by Motorhead, I have this distinct memory of getting up to go to school, and my parents were on vacation. Now, you never met my Grandpa Jewett because he died shortly before we met. And he and my Grandma Jewett were out babysitting me. My parents were away for the week. And this is when we lived in the Chicago suburbs, Burr Ridge, Hinsdale area. And I got up in the morning. The first thing I'd always do is put on my record. Remember, I put on that song. That's a quite aggressive song. And I remember my Grandpa Jewett came into the room, and he was like, "Oh, good morning, Mark." He was like, "Oh, that's some nice relaxing music to get you going this morning."
He was a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, and he was a guy who, you know, he didn't like any rock at all. I mean, he liked country and the older classics, you know. Glenn Miller and stuff like that. But then he did like the Oak Ridge Boys and Dolly Parton. I was a big fan of him. But I always have that memory with that specific Motorhead song back at the Funny Farm with my grandfather. And real quick, before we get into the interview, we did see Black Star Riders with Scott Gorham, of course, of Thin Lizzy fame, and Damon Johnson. And wow, they were so good. Saxon, Judas Priest, what a great night that was.
That was so fun. And we're going to try and fit in another one on this tour because yeah. I almost have to. I need to see another one of those shows.
And I want to see, I just ordered Damon's album, Birmingham.
Yes.
Tonight or whatever it is, the new live record. And you know, they played in New Hope, Pennsylvania, right down by where my mom and my brother lived.
So fun.
The Damon Johnson solo band. Like, it was probably like 2 years ago, and it was like on a Thursday night, and we missed it for whatever reason. I want to see the Damon Johnson solo.
Do you know
band.
What I need to? I need to ask Tony Higbee his involvement because he's of course we love you, Tony. He's with Tom Kiefer and has been for quite some time, but I don't know what his involvement is exactly with Damon Johnson. It's in his Twitter that he's involved with the Damon Johnson band.
Right.
And I was just tweeting with him today about like Jeff Buckley. Like, we have so much in common musically. We love like all the power pop, all the Jellyfish and like Sloan and stuff. I've had great conversations with Tony about those bands. But do you know exactly what his involvement is? I don't think you talked with Damon about that.
I didn't. I guess we should know, but I'm assuming he's the second guitar player in the band.
Yeah, you know, but he's so busy with Kiefer. I can't imagine he has much time to do stuff. But Damon doesn't really tour that much, does he?
He does some. I guess, I mean, his main thing is Black Star Riders, obviously. And that's where they're focusing on. And Damon revealed, which I'm shocked Blabbermouth didn't pick it up, that they're recording a fourth Black Star Riders record. I thought that was kind of big news, but...
But what a cool guy. And he loves you so much. He posted on his Facebook something like, gave you total props today on Facebook.
Damon's
it
great.
Was cool.
Damon's great. But Tony Higbee, who you interviewed last year at M3. That's a great segue because I did want to mention the great M3 festival is happening again this May, guys, and it's going to be insane because Tony Higbee will be back there with Tom Kiefer playing once again to the M3 festival, the 10-year anniversary of M3.
10 years.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And Loudness will be there, and Y&T. Two bands, I'm embarrassed to say this, two bands I've never seen live.
I know.
I've never seen those
wild.
Bands.
It's wild. You've always been like huge Loudness fan. Loudness vinyl has been spinning in this house since the day we moved in.
Absolutely.
And we missed out on them last year because for our listeners that don't know, they actually came to the States, got to Chicago, and they were turned away and had to go back to Japan last year. They were supposed to play at M3. And we had an interview set up and everything, and we were devastated.
Yeah. And the M3 festival, 1 month away, guys. We can't wait to hang out with you there and check out Ace and Queensryche and Pretty Boy Floyd and all the other great bands, Night Ranger, that are playing the M3 festival this year. And also, our other favorite festival in North America is, of course, Heavy Montreal. We are totally looking forward to that. It's going to be a great, great, diverse day. Rat is playing, all this controversy with Rat going on. We'll see what lineup it actually ends up being.
Man, without Warren DeMartini.
It's not Rat without Warren, but and honestly, with Jake, if he does hire Jake to be in the band, when I say he, I'm Stephen Piercy, to me, it could just be a train wreck that it's also entertaining. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I hope they straighten things out because I'd love to see Warren and Steven back you know, in the both in
that
the
was
fold
so
for
amazing
Rat.
At M3 last year.
But a lot of other great bands playing, of course, Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. This is up at Heavy Montreal this
what
summer.
What's Manson
guys.
Doing?
I'm not sure. Sure, he's got a new video out, music video.
I saw that
Courtney
with,
loves,
with Courtney
and
Love,
I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. Is it any good?
Well, all his stuff lately has been pretty intense. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, so Heavy Montreal and M3, two festivals that we endorse and highly recommend here on Talking Metal.
Do your listeners know that you opened for Pretty Boy Floyd once? Have you ever told that story?
I did not know. My band Hollywood Superstars opened at a club in
was
Connections.
That?
Was it Connections?
Connections.
Yeah, Connections in Jersey Clifton, Club. New Jersey, which is no like the club's no longer there. And we opened for Pretty Boy Floyd.
That
and
was insanity.
Bullet Boys.
And
Bullet and
Boys.
Boys.
Yeah. All I remember were bouncing basketballs, and there was there was catering, but it was just like gross, disgusting catering. Yeah. There was like nasty cold cuts and stuff backstage.
Yep, I remember that. I remember that.
That place was insane.
Anyways, on that note, let's get into this interview with Wendy Dio.
Wendy,
here is a little Dio music. This is "Death by Love" by Dio from 2004. Off the Masters of the Moon album, a song written by Ronnie James Dio and Craig Goldie, followed by Emily Striegel's interview with Wendy Dio.
One night when the stars were right for the Gypsy Queen, and she found she could drag it down to a place that in between it all. She's a madman with a delicate hand and evil eyes, and I've heard she'll only say a word, but that's enough to satisfy. Don't ask why, don't even think about it. Raymond died. Sacred Heart, 'cause the end has come before the beginning. Knee deep in the darkest sleep, but the eyes see all. So high it could break the sky and never feel the fall to come. Strong men die, but what a way to go. She's not above.
Talking Metal calling for Wendy Dio.
Speaking, how are you?
Hi, Wendy, how are you?
I'm very well, and I hope you are too.
I am. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to speak with you again today. This is my third time in the past couple of years that we've had a chance to chat.
I know.
I like that this is becoming a habit for us.
Well, we appreciate your support very much.
Absolutely. So last time we spoke, you were getting ready for the Bowl for Ronnie 2017
right.
tournament.
That went really well, very, very well. And now we're into Road for Ronnie.
Yes, yes. So I have to ask, though, the Bowl for Ronnie, did Tom Morello score the highest? Because we talked about what a mean bowler he was. Do you remember?
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking that Mark Ferrari got it again. I have to look back again. But I know Rhino came in as the top scoring team again, I think, for the second year. And I'm almost sure Tom was up there in the high scores. But I think that Mark Ferrari was the one who came in above him.
Well, I was very curious about that. And as you said, it's now time for another fundraiser to support the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund, which, of course, is the annual ride for Ronnie. Can you tell us what the fans can expect and a little bit about what's happening?
Well, it's going to be very fun, and we hope it doesn't rain this year. We're gearing up, and I think we're going to have probably around 300 riders, which I'm very happy about. We've got some great bands this year. We've got Stephen Adams All-Star Band. We've got Dio Disciples, of course, with Craig and Simon and Bjorn and Scott Warren, and also Oney Logan and Rupert Owens. So they'll all be on top form there. We're very excited to have Bisto Blanco, which is Alice Cooper's daughter, Calico, and Chuck Carrot, which would be real fun. We've got a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band, which is really very, very cool, called One More for the Road. We've got another band, Slash's son's band, his young son. We've got his band. It's called Classless Act. And then we have another band called Railgun. So we've got a lot of great people playing this year. Of course, Stephen All-Star's band, we don't get to know who the people are until a few days beforehand, the musicians that he's lined up. But I think it's going to be a fun day for everyone. We've got lots of great live auction items, silent auction items, raffle items, vendors there, food and drinks, of course, beer and wine. So it'll be fun.
Wonderful.
A good family day for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. That's the nice thing about it, is that everyone can bring their kids. I mean, we have a whole new generation of Dio fans at this point. It's amazing. You know, the amount of like t-shirts I see young kids. I went to see Judas Priest last week, and there were some young kids wearing Dio shirts. I loved seeing that. It's a whole new generation.
You know, I think that this is the first time a generation has liked the same music as their parents. I think it's the first time it's ever happened. And
that's
I think because these people are all innovators, and, you know, there's nothing, everybody has to copy them because they can't invent the wheel so many times.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's one of the few genres where we see that, I think.
Right. When I was in London, when we did the hologram tour, I saw a man there. He was about 60 with a Dio t-shirt on. He had his son with him, who was about 40 with a Dio t-shirt on, who had his son, who was about 19, with his Dio shirt on. So it was like three generations. It was really, really, really cool to see that. And that was great. No, the fans are great. They're unbelievable. They stick all the time with us, and their support is amazing. Ronnie would be so, so proud.
Yeah, and he was always so loyal and good to his fans. I mean, that's one thing that was just so evident, and it's not just in who he was as a person, but in his performances. And that really...
Oh, yeah, he loved his fans. He absolutely loved his fans, and he never forgot how he got there was because of his fans.
Yeah, amazing. So so the ride is happening for those that are interested, it's happening May 6th, and it's starting out in Glendale at the Harley-Davidson.
Yeah, Glendale Harley. Yeah, Harley sponsors us. They have every year. which we're very grateful for. And it starts off there, and the ride goes to Los Encinos Park in Encino. Of course, you don't have to ride. You can register to ride, but if you just want to come and enjoy everything and watch the bands, of course, it's just for spectators also. And it's going to be real fun. We have the ride going up there. We have breakfast for the guys there, bagels and Krispy Kremes and all that for them to start off with, and orange juice and coffee. And then they ride over, and we have police escort all the way, which is amazing.
That's
amazing.
So cool. That's so cool.
It's so amazing. They stop all the traffic and you see all the bikes go through. It's amazing. Of course, I'll be riding again, and I hope Rita Ford will be riding.
Cool.
I ride every year with my pink helmet and my pink Dio helmet and my pink Harley Davidson jacket. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, gosh, I want to see pictures of this. We need you.
Sure.
We need you on social media, Wendy. When are you going to get like an Instagram account so I can see your pink helmet?
Actually, if you go on on our site, which is docancerfund.org, you can see there are pictures of me in my pink helmet there with my sister, actually, in her pink helmet.
I would love it. And do you ride with the same person every year? Who do you ride with?
I ride with Big Scott. He was Ronnie's production manager, was with him for many, many years. He's 6'5". And he would lay his life down for Ronnie and me. So I feel very, very safe with him. He's an amazing guy. And he's one of the lead riders. And I will ride on the back with him.
Fantastic.
Which is fun. And my sister rides also in her pink helmet. And I don't know who she's riding with this year. But there's many of them. In fact, my bank manager wants to ride on the back this year.
Maybe you could get one of those sidecars, you know, the little.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much fun, you know, and you see like 300, 350 bikes coming down the road. It's amazing with the police escort on the side. It's just amazing sight to see. It really is. And these guys are so great. You got to come out one year.
I know. I really, really am going to do this because this is just such. All of this is so near and dear to my heart. You know, the cancer research that you guys do is so amazing. And of course, I love Dio and I would love to be there. Is there ever a chance? We talked a couple, you know, a year or so about this. Maybe doing
about
East Coast, maybe.
Yeah, we've been talking to Ronnie's cousin, Rock, David Feinstein, about it. And we're trying to put it together. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but we are trying to put it together so that we do have an East Coast. We'd actually like an East Coast. We'd like a Middle Coast too. We'd like sort of like a Chicago one also. So we're trying, and we will be. We are growing each year, which is amazing. We've been giving a lot of money to UCLA with Dr. Wong's cancer research for a swab test, and I think it's actually going to happen in 2020 that we will have this swab test, which would be so amazing.
It's
so
such,
that you just go to the doctor and swab the inside of your mouth and they will send the results back and find out.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. It's amazing. He's very, very close to it. Some of the board members went, I was unfortunately in England, but some of the board members went down to his research lab last week to see the progress. And they said it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just geniuses that are working on this type of stuff. But it's such a process to not only develop it, but to get it approved, right? You know, so
absolutely. FDA approval. Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping for that in 2020. We'll see what happens. But we're very, very hoping for that. And we've been very, very busy getting everything ready. And it's going to be such a fun day. It's always a fun day. It's a lot of hard work, but it's all worth it. Everybody's kind of exhausted at the end of the day, but we've all had so much fun.
I'm sure. Yeah. Because it starts out, when does the ride, the ride starts early in the morning. You said everyone's having breakfast and then the party goes.
Right.
Yeah.
The ride starts off. Yeah. Then they all show in at 9 o'clock. They're at the bike riders. They come in at between 9 and 10:30. And then the kickstands, they start off at 11. And they ride to the park, and the concert over the park, we start at 11:30. We open up 11:30 there, and it goes till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's, you know, as I said, it's real fun. It's only $25 for a ticket. On the day before, you get it for $20, and then $25 on the day. and the riders with a passenger is like $50 with the passenger, and I think it's $35 if they pre. No, it's $40 if you pre. If you pre-register, and $50 with a passenger and rider on the day.
What a good deal. What a good deal for a full day of music.
Yeah. If you just want to come on Mustang, it's $20 on pre-registration or $25. And you get all those bands to see and hang out. And it's just a lovely, lovely place. It's a lovely park with a lake there with the ducks and everything. And it's just a really cool place. We just take over the whole park.
I love it. And I can't wait to see who Stephen, I love the little mystery about who Stephen Adler will be bringing out. And is Eddie Trunk coming back?
Oh, of course. Eddie's always back. Yeah, he's our host. He's always our host.
Yeah,
he's so amazing. Yeah, Eddie's the best. He's kept heavy metal and rock alive for so, so many years. He really has. And you guys, you know,
yes.
It's what we need because, you know, a lot of people go, oh, there's dirty people. We don't want to know about them. But they're the most generous, loving people going. I mean, the musicians that always give their time and their talent again and again and again, and I can't thank them enough.
100%. So let's talk a little bit about the Hologram. So I know.
Okay.
So I know it won't be touring North America at this time, is what I'm reading, and that you're going to taking it kind of back to the shop. You're going to tweak the Hologram a little bit. Do you want to talk at all about what happened there and what's going on? This has been so
okay.
Long
so well, we took we took the Hologram out to Europe to test the waters, basically to see if there was an audience for it because it is so new, and as so many people have, you know, oh, this is just a video, this is just this. So we took it out to see if the fans were there, and they absolutely were. I mean, there were kids crying to me saying, thank you for bringing Ronnie back on stage. And
yes.
And it was a very, it was really an emotional trip. It was great. We saw the fans are definitely there. So that was just kind of a trial run. So we brought it back. There's new technology happening every day. So we're making this amazing. We're making an amazing show, which will go out in 2019 and hopefully hit America also. So we're working on that very well. We're making some changes and we're bringing it. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be where Ronnie sings along with two other singers at the same time. So
yeah.
And of course we take Ronnie's band, you know, that played with him for the last 17 years. So. And it's a great experience. I mean, there's nothing else like it. There's other Holograms going out, but they're not going out with, like, they're not rock bands for a start, and they're not going out with the band that Ronnie plays. The band plays live, and then they play along with it with a live track of Ronnie's, and it's amazing.
I love it. I mean, it's impossible to with a Hologram. I mean, anytime you're videotaping a concert, you're never gonna get the real feel. So people who are judging things based on this video is ridiculous, especially with a Hologram. You can't judge anything based on that.
Well, the people that have seen it think it's real. It looks really real. It's not because it's not a video. It's a Hologram. It's 3D and it's a Hologram, and it's like he's just right there on stage. And, you know, with the live band, and you really, when you're looking at it, you can't tell that it's not Ronnie back up there again.
Very cool. And sharing the vocal duties, it's Tim Ripper Owens, of course, of Judas Priest fame, and Lynch Mob's Oney Logan. And from what I understand, they sing together, they sing separately. Ronnie comes out for songs, so it really is an amazing show.
It is. It's an experience. And it's great. We have some great stage stuff going on and production and things. And it is. It's a whole great experience. And everybody that's seen it has just been amazed and just loved it. It's the naysayers are always the ones that haven't seen it. And I say, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But see it first before you say something about it, you know.
Agreed. So Craig Goldie, of course, is on guitar. We have Simon Wright on drums and Scott Warren keyboards and Bjorn's on bass. I'm a big Craig Goldie fan. We've had him on the podcast before. He's such a nice guy. And I've always been interested in hearing more about the timing. Like when he transitioned into the role of guitarist, when Vivian left back in 85, like mid 80s, I'm guessing. What are your memories of that transition? Because you guys were already working. Were you managing Craig and his other band?
Yes. Yeah. He was in a band called Rough Cut at the time. And I was managing him. And we'd had some problems with Vivian. And we just figured that let's try the new young guitar player here. And he did, because when we met Craig, he was living in a car. He didn't even own a guitar, but the guy from the guitar shop down in San Diego had said, you've got to see this guy. He's an amazing guitar player. He comes in and plays our guitars. But we tracked him down. We found him. And we brought him up for the band Rough Cut. And then when it didn't work out with Vivian, we said, well, this was the choice to make. And he's a great guy, too. He's a really, really true, nice person. He was one of Ronnie's best friends as well as being a bandmate. And he's always been loyal and very, very loyal to me.
Craig Goldie with the heart of gold.
He is. Absolutely. That's great. I'm going to tell him you said that.
So, and he was in and out over the years, but in the end, weren't they working together up until the end and writing? And will those songs ever hear, see the light of day?
They were writing, not right at the end. They were writing before that. And then Craig was on a hiatus. And actually, Ronnie was working with Doug Aldrich just before he died.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and there's some songs that Craig and Ronnie were working on, and there's some songs that Doug and Ronnie were working on.
Cool.
And we'll get them out one of these days. We'll figure out what they are and get them released.
Well, there aren't enough hours in the day to do everything that you. I mean, talk about staying busy. It's like between the hologram and all the wonderful fundraising you're doing. Maybe we'll get a book out of you one of these days. I hope.
Well, we're working on Ronnie's book right now, actually, because he was writing a book before he passed away. And so we are getting ready to finish that book and get it out, but hopefully by next year. I'm working with some people on that right now, as a matter of fact. And I'm hoping to do a documentary also.
Oh, fantastic.
But, yeah. Those are things that we have in the works there.
You work so hard to keep his legacy alive, and we're so thrilled to have you back on Talking Metal again. And we wish you best of luck with Ride for Ronnie.
Thank you so much. We're very, very happy to be talking to you and for your continued support. Really, thank you so, so very, very much, Emily. It's people like you that keep everything going for us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, same to you. And one of these days we'll get to meet. Maybe I'll get out there for the
absolutely
Ride for Ronnie next year.
That will be fantastic. Let me know. Okay?
Good luck with everything. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Night tells a thousand lies.
That was Sunset Superman off the very underrated album with Craig Goldie, Dream Evil. Such a great, great record. One of my favorite Dio records.
And
Dream
Craig's
Evil.
First album with Dio.
Yes, correct.
So we talked a little bit about Craig in the interview, and we love him. Man, if you guys haven't heard that interview, go back into the archives, the Talking Metal archives, and listen to that.
Oh, that's
it's a
good one.
Great
yeah.
interview with Craig you did, like, how many years ago at this point?
Oh, I don't know, 3-4 years ago at this point. But yeah, it really turned out well, and we should definitely dig that out and post it on the site, which of course is talkingmetal.com or talkingrock.net. Please visit the site and use our Amazon links. That helps support what we do here. Join us on Patreon, do a $5 a month pledge and get a Talking Metal t-shirt. Just let me know when you're hooked up with us on Patreon. Send me an email. Let me know. It's mark@talkingmetal.com. Give me your shirt size and address. That'll go right out to you. If you don't want to do the Patreon and you want a t-shirt, just do the PayPal thing. Send me $20. I'll send it out to you, okay?
Can we use the money to go out to the next ride for Ronnie, please?
Yeah, well, we haven't gotten enough money to do that yet, but hopefully the t-shirts will sell soon.
I got to make it out there next year. Even if I have to go solo, I'm going. I love Miss Wendy. She's awesome.
Well, you're not going solo. I want to go too. So we'll try to definitely make that happen. That would be a great event and a great thing to support the ride for Ronnie, and just raises a lot of money for cancer research in Ronnie James Dio's name. And on that note, let's get into the Gus G interview. His new record is out April 20th. It's called Fearless. And I tell you, the title track, Fearless, is so good. And I wanted to play it here, but I noticed, because they sent us an advanced link of it, but it hasn't been released yet. So I don't think I should play it yet, because I don't want to be the first one to leak it. But here's a song that has been released off the record that you can buy on iTunes. It's called Mr. Manson, and it's off the Fearless record.
We talked a little bit about this in the interview.
Cool. By Gus G. And again, the Fearless record will be released April 20th. We'll have it linked through today's show notes where you can pre-order it. And on that note, Mr. Manson by Gus G, followed by Emily Striegel's interview with Gus G.
Like it is. that screams a lot, so maybe we need to go in a quieter place with the podcast.
We don't mind screaming. Sec. We don't mind screaming cats.
I do, believe me. Okay, give me a sec, please.
Sure.
So we can start whenever you want.
Hello, Talking Metal listeners. This is Emily Striegel with you today. And on the phone with us right now, I've got Gus G. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Great. So, of course, Gus, you're known for your work with Firewind and Ozzy and also your solo career, which I want to talk about today a bit. I want to start out, though, by telling you that I saw you play back in December in Brooklyn with Vinnie Moore. And you killed it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was at that show. What a fun bill was that? Did you have a good time on that tour?
Yeah. Sorry, what was it? What was the venue called?
St. Vitus,
yeah. What a cool venue.
That's a great venue. We love Vitus.
Yeah, cool. I love the vibe there. It was a cool show, yeah. And it was a good run with Vinny. We had a blast.
Good. Very cool. So you have a new solo album, which we're really excited about. It's called Fearless. It's being released through AFM. The release date is April 20th. All of our listeners should check it out for sure. I just had a listen. Sounds fantastic.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So is this your third solo album? I was kind of going through and looking back.
Correct. Yeah, that's the third album. The first one came out in 2014, and then the second one, 2015, and here we are today with Fearless. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I was wondering about that, because have you just been busy with Firewind, or why is it, it's been a few years since you've given us some new solo material?
Yeah, you're right, because the reason was because in 2017, I mean, it all started in 2016, we put Firewind back together. I mean, we never really split up, but we were a little bit on a hiatus, so we kind of got together, we did some festivals, and then we started writing an album, and that took like a few months, and then next thing you know, the album came out early 2017, and the album turned out to be, had much better response than what we expected, so the tour kept getting extended, and we just finished up our world tour in South America 2 weeks ago. So,
wow.
I mean, yeah, you know, the thing is by the time all this stuff happened, it's like 3 years later. And yeah, that's how it goes.
It's good to be busy. That's awesome. So, So your last solo album opens with a really great instrumental, but I think there's vocals on the rest of the album, right? On that last album.
Mm-hmm.
And on this new album, we're treated to three instrumental tracks, which is
super cool.
So what made you go in this direction this time around with giving us a few more instrumentals?
You know, honestly, I was inspired by people just telling me that I should be playing more instrumentals.
Very cool. Yeah.
I thought, well, I guess that's. I mean, this whole album was the whole thought process behind it was, well, what is it that people really know me for, and what would they like me to do more? And I guess that would be play metal, play a lot of guitar, and maybe give them some more instrumentals and just continue doing what I do. So yeah, that's what I did. I realized I'm probably not gonna have a radio hit, so I quit on that idea.
Yeah, well, what is a radio hit anymore, though? You know, it's like the
you're right, yeah,
changed so much. So, you know, stay true to what you do and what you do so fantastically, and your fans will still be there for you. So,
yeah, I think that's more important than anything, really, the loyal supporters. I mean, you know, nobody can take that away from you, no matter, you know, if you have a radio hit or whatever, if you're a flavor of the month, you know, all that stuff is very, you know, it's that stuff doesn't stay with you, but your fans do stay with you.
Exactly.
And that's more important than anything. Yeah.
And in my opinion, metal fans are some of the most loyal and, you know, hardcore fans out there. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, you grow in heavy metal, you grow old with your fans. That's the
cool
thing. And then next thing you know, I mean, I've seen people, you know, they were coming out to our shows, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And then I see them now and they bring their young kids with them. And, I mean, that makes us feel a little bit older now, but
there's pluses and minuses to that.
Yeah, but it's cool, you know. It's like the torch keeps passing on, and that's a wonderful thing.
Cool. Awesome. So the title track is an instrumental, and it's insanely good. And tell me about the beginning of that. Is that like flamenco style, like kind of like a metal with a metal tinge to it? Like what's going on that song, the title track?
Fearless. Yeah. I don't know. No, it's not flamenco. It was meant to be like some sort of classically influenced kind of thing where I'm just having layers of arpeggios somehow. It's funny because somebody said the other day, somebody else talked to me about that, the intro part, and they said, oh, that's like Greek music, right? I'm like, no, it's not like Greek, but it's something that sounds exotic. So some people think, yeah. Oh, he's from Greece. That must be like Greek music.
Interesting. It's a very, very creative and cool way.
Thank you. I was probably going for some sort of a classically influenced arpeggio kind of thing, more like neoclassical, but I guess it turned out into something slightly different, which is cool. It's nice to hear that.
Yeah, it's very cool. So we have our instrumental tracks. We also have more songs with vocals. Can you tell us a little bit about who's doing the singing on this album?
Yeah, it's Dennis Ward. Now, Dennis is my main co-writer and co-producer, and he's mainly known as a studio engineer, but also as the bass player of a band called Unisonic and Pink Cream 69. But he was a hidden talent when it comes to the vocals because nobody really knew how good he could sing. But yeah, Dennis and I, we make all the demos, all the songs together, and he always laid down the pilot tracks, so to speak. That's what we call them, the vocal pilot tracks, because he comes up with the vocal melodies and stuff, and I come up with the music. So in the end, we were just like, well, dude, it's like you sing so good, you know, you might as well sing on the record. So that's how it came about.
Very cool. Now, I know he produced your last Firewind album, right? So what were the differences?
Yeah, we co-produced it together, yeah.
Okay, you co-produced that together. So what were the differences in the way he approached this album with you as opposed to the last Firewind album? Was it pretty much the same deal going in?
The whole idea was just to write good songs. That's how we always start. With Firewind, when we started out on Immortals, it was like we set out to make a concept album. So it was an album about a part of Greek history, ancient Greek history. So it was an album that we did about Spartans and, you know, King Leonidas and all that. So we had that in mind. But with this solo record, obviously it's a different thing, totally different thing than what Firewind is doing. So basically, we were on a roll just writing songs, and I said to him, once we finished the Firewind production, I said, listen, I want to send you some of my stuff, what I'm thinking about my next solo record, and see what you think. And so I just sent him a couple of ideas. He sent back some vocal ideas, and we went from there. And we really didn't have to even discuss it. It was like just writing good songs, just wanted to come up with good material that we both liked. I mean, I didn't even tell him, okay, this is what I'm thinking here and stuff. Usually, like, you'll discuss stuff like that, but we didn't have to discuss anything. The stuff just sounded good, and before we knew it, we had, like, yeah. It's good when that happens, you know, when you have, like, a good co-writing partner like that. It's really cool.
Right. Very cool. One track on this album that threw me for a loop is the Dire Straits cover. So you do Money for Nothing,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, this is going to be interesting. It starts out kind of similar vibe to the original, and then right before it kicks in, there's this key change, and it modulates down and gives it this really heavy, dark sound.
Yep.
So it's very cool. But why this song? Is there a story there?
The story behind this is that it's just one of those tracks that I grew up as a kid and I loved it, and I always wanted to learn how to play that guitar riff. It was really iconic, and the video was iconic, and it was just on one of the tracks I was thinking, like, what kind of cover, when I was brainstorming what kind of songs would I like to cover, and this turned up immediately. It was like I was making a list, and this was like on the top of the list, and I had this idea of doing a really heavy version of it. And a little bit of an info about the intro. The actual intro of the song is the exact intro that it's from the Dire Straits record. But I think Dennis found all the MIDI tracks somewhere online. They were just available. So he just took all the MIDI tracks and he just replaced the sounds with our sounds.
So
it's basically the exact stuff that, yeah, it's basically the exact Dire Straits production, but with our sounds.
Yeah, that's so cool. Let's talk a little bit about drums on Fearless. So on this album, they're handled by Will Hunt, of course, from Evanescence. How did you hook up with Will?
Cool story with Will is that I met him in Frankfurt, Germany, last April, I believe. I was on tour opening for Steve Stevens, and he was at the Frankfurt Messe, which is like a big music fair, kind of like the NAMM show is in America.
Right.
I think he was there just showcasing some drum stuff, and we were staying at the same hotel, and I saw him at the hotel bar, and we're just all hanging out there, a bunch of dudes, musicians and stuff, and we had a couple of drinks, and we started sharing tour stories. You know, obviously he was with Black Label Society, and then, you know, some Aussie stories and all that stuff. And we just kind of hit it off. And I mean, I always loved his drumming, and exchanged contact.
He can swing. You know, he's got like a good groove, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And then because that's what really I started thinking of. Like, well, this would be a great guy to play on this kind of material. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks later, I just, you know, reached out and said, hey, man, would you be interested in playing into, you know, in this project? And yeah, he was down for it.
Cool. So the song Mr. Manson, that seems to deal with Charlie Manson, who, of course, died recently. Did his mm-hmm. death inspire the song, or were you working on it even before then?
No, not at all. Actually, we wrote that song last year, months before he died. We had no clue. It's just one of those satanic coincidences.
Yeah. So there are a lot of rockers interested in Manson, you know, from Axl Rose to Rob Zombie to Ozzy, you know, why do you think there's such an interest in Manson?
The whole story is so spooky and so crazy, and it's just one of those, you know, it's become its own myth, you know, and it's like you always see documentaries about it in movies, and, you know, Manson figure became such, the whole cult around his name. And I don't know, I didn't even think about writing a song about him. I had this riff, and it was kind of like this Sabbath-y, almost like this NIB type of riff. And I sent it to Dennis originally, and I said, hey, listen, this is like a riff that I was thinking of at some point showing it to Ozzy years ago. And it was like in my computer for years or so. See if you want to do something with that. And I think that kind of like triggered something in his mind. And he sent me back the demo with Mr. Manson. I'm like, okay, so what's this? He goes like, well, Mr. Crowley was already taken. So
that's funny. I love it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a very cool track.
Thanks.
Go back and let's talk about your first solo album. It had a lot. I need to hear the story behind this, because I was looking through it, and it has a lot of heavy hitters on it. Dave Ellefson's on it, Billy Sheehan, Jeff Scott Soto. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge cast of characters. So tell me a little bit about that experience, and then how that type of album differs from an album like this one, where it's a three-piece.
Well, when I set out to do my debut solo album, it was a time in my life where I just wanted to collaborate with different people. I was kind of tired being in Firewind at the time and just being the band guy forever since I was 18. And I just wanted to reach out and write with different people, with different singers, with different producers, songwriters. And the whole thing started, I reached out to a couple of friends, and then I met Jay Rustin, who mixed the record. And through Jay.
Ah, I know Jay.
Oh, you know Jay. Okay. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, through Jay, you know, he suggested some other people, and he introduced me to some other musicians, because I went out to L.A. to track drums and stuff, and he helped me to basically put the whole project together. And, I mean, the whole idea was to basically make kind of like one of those Santana albums, but in metal, you know?
Very cool, yeah.
So that was the whole idea, just to have a lot of guests, just have a different... It was like... I would say, yeah, it was like an experimental thing. I had different kinds of tracks. I had like a couple of metal instrumentals, and then I had this more kind of like retro rock stuff, and then I had like a glam rock song, and then I had like a metal song, and then I had like an active rock kind of song. So it was just a compilation of different things. I just wanted to write, you know, basically branch out of what I was doing in Firewind and write different things and try out things.
Okay, cool. So since this album is the three of you, are there any plans to tour it?
Absolutely, yeah. We are actually starting in April, basically next week. We start out in Scandinavia and in Germany. playing some shows. And then we're going to, I think we're going to do the U.S. Around in the fall, I think September. Then I think England, and then we're going to go back and do an extensive tour of Europe until the end of the year. I think there's quite a few shows in the works right now. I think we're going to be on the road for quite a while.
Amazing. And so what about Firewind? Because you guys had an album out in 2017, but it sounds like your focus in 2018 is going to be mostly the solo stuff.
Yeah. This year is going to be, I mean, Firewind basically just finished the Immortal Tour 2 weeks ago in South America, and then now it's like the solo album and the solo tour until sometime next year. And I mean, I don't know, right now we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna play a couple of festivals in Europe this summer with Firewind, but then basically take a break, think about the next album. I'm already kind of like throwing rough ideas around, and once the solo tour winds down, we're gonna think about going back and writing a new one.
Very cool. Yeah, let's rewind all the way back to 2005. I seem to remember you did some live dates and even recorded maybe a little bit with Arch Enemy. So do you have any memories of working with that band that you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember Michael Amott, he called me right around April or May 2005. They were going to go on the Ozfest, and his brother had just quit the band, so he needed a guitar player because that was like a big tour for them, you know?
Right.
And they were breaking pretty big, like in America. And yeah, so I went out and I did an audition. And then next thing you know, we were on a like 8 or 9 week tour in the States. And I think when we were doing all that, he was putting the finishing touches on the Doomsday Machine album. And he's like, hey, you want to do like a guest solo since you're going to be out with us this summer?
That's a great album. And
I was like, yeah. Yeah, I love that album. And I did a solo on the opening track called Taking Back My Soul.
Very cool. So you got to play on that. I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was honestly, at that point, to me, that was the first really professional experience I had playing in a band, because that was like the first time I joined a band that had a management and a proper crew, and like everything was done, you know, like at a professional level. So it was a really eye-opening experience and really inspired me to, I'm like, wow, this is how a band should be run, you know? So, it was really cool. It was a good school for me to be in Arch Enemy for a few months.
That's awesome. And good exposure. And of course you've gone on to work with Ozzy. Are there anyone, do you ever hear from Adam Wakeman or Blasco or any of those guys from Ozzy's band?
Yeah. I mean, pretty often we exchange emails, you know, like, or text, like, hey, what's up and all that stuff. I mean, Adam is here in Europe. He's in England. So we are closer, and we always, I guess we're more in the same time zone. So so we text more often than we, you know, compared to the other guys. But yeah, I mean, I'm really friendly with all of them, of course, you know. We were in the same band for many years, and we traveled the world together, and they're amazing people. Yeah,
I'm sure many good memories there. So I want to encourage
Absolutely.
All of our listeners to check out the new album. It's called Fearless, Gus G's new solo album. It's going to be released April 20th. We are going to look out for you. Hopefully we'll see some U.S. dates in the fall. If so, you can expect to see me and Mark and the Talking Metal listeners at your show. And we wish you luck on the tour. I guess you said you're leaving next week?
Yes, we are. Yeah, thank you so much.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for coming on Talking Metal, and we hope to talk to you soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's all we have until it's all gone. A split second can last forever. No budget can make it better. One heart beat just until the last one. Run, fight, run on the ladder. Don't slow down, only faster. Knock yourself out, doesn't matter. Anything to get what you want. How much?
was I Want It More by Ozzy Osbourne off the Scream album. That's the one record with Gus G. And overlooked, underrated record. A lot of people don't talk about those last two Ozzy solo records, and I definitely have some love for those records. I think there's some good stuff on both of those records. So on that note, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Emily, anything we need to touch upon? What about your Twitter account and Instagram? Can you let people know where they can find you online?
Well, just my Twitter is Emily Striegel, and my Instagram is space.pony.
Awesome. And leave Talking Metal a 5-star review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. And on that note, here is an exclusive. This is brand new Vessel of Light, featuring, of course, our friend Dan Lorenzo.
Hey, Dan.
And Nathan Opposition from Ancient Wisdom. This is brand new, unreleased, never heard before anywhere. We got the exclusive on this. This is Son of Man, off of the upcoming brand new full-length Vessel of Light album. Thanks for letting us play this, Dan. Here we go. And that'll take us out.